think I'm going to need that. Turn with us to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, I'll try to be real respectful of the time. Brother Blue is one of my favorite preachers. I heard him for years. There, before I ever got a chance to meet him, he's encouraged me. He come on during my lunchtime when I was working as a commercial electrician. I always loved hearing him preach. It's a shame he only owned for 15 minutes there, but I loved hearing him. So we'll just pray, and we'll start right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, what the Lord's given me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time and opportunity to be here. I pray, God, that you bless Brother Shepherd, the church here, and I pray, God, that you'd help the radio station continue on, Lord. What a great blessing it's been to my family, Lord, to be able to hear it all the way to North Carolina at times. And I pray, God, you'd bless the message now as it goes out. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Here in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in verse number 1, what I like about Paul, the majority of his writings, he always includes other brethren. You know, a lot of times we give Paul a lot of credit, and I tell people, man, if there's anybody I'd like to be, I'd love to be Paul, but I always find myself as Peter. I always make mistakes and get myself in trouble. But Paul makes it known in the majority of his writings there that he's never alone. Right. And verse number 1 here, I want you to know the work of God takes teamwork. The pastor can't do it alone. I'm telling you, we've been in some churches in these last 3.5 years where the pastor, unfortunately, was doing it alone. And you know what happens? The church suffers. Numbers are down. Nobody wants to do anything because, well, it's the pastor's responsibility. And that's not the way God ever intended it. God's put a man in charge, and God, and I know others have said this, God put a man in charge, and it's a shame the day and time we live in. We've been in churches. Men have got voted in, and that people think by voting him in, all they're voting him in is to get up here and preach, and that's it. They don't realize they're voting him in to have authority over the church, to have authority to run things in the church. I'm not talking about being a dictator. What I love about Paul is he makes it known there in Acts. He says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They didn't take it just because Paul said it. They got up and searched the scriptures, but they did it in a respectful way, and that's the way it should be. But listen, the work of God takes teamwork. Paul had many people through the years, Barnabas and then Silas and Timothy and then Titus, all helping him in the work of God. And that's what it takes in the day and time we live in. I'm thankful where God's called us. Kansas is a unique place from a lot of places. A lot of these men I've talked to or we've talked through the years, people that went to Wisconsin and gone to other states, and they think about how many times they go there and they're alone. But listen, Kansas is unique. We go there. If we showed up this week, Brother Plato Shepherd's church would send people to knock doors there in the town to help us. Other churches, Brother Matthews and Brother Rudd, and there's a college out there, they would send people to help knock doors because they're actually concerned with their state, with the people there. They actually want to reach the people. We know churches that run over 200 can't get 10 people to show up for visitation. Listen, I believe as a church, it takes more than the pastor and his family showing up knocking doors. People want to see young people out. We had a lady one time, we knocked doors in our area, but we had been at a food line. Some of you, I don't know if you've been down there lately, where they added the food line. It's a mile from our church there in Tyro. They added a food line. We stood out there one day with the young people handing out tracts. Well, sure enough, a couple months later, we knocked a woman's door, and a woman told us, said, I've been wanting to come to y'all's church. Anybody that get the young people out, standing out there handing out tracts in food line parking lot, there's something going on there. But listen, now, she didn't ever, as far as I know, she never showed up. But listen, she remembered that, and it put something in her heart. She knows that our church wants to do something, had wanted to do something. So the work of God takes teamwork. Now, verse number 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Listen, brother, I think Brother Blue said it the other day, maybe yesterday, the day before. He said he prays for every supporting church he has had. Right. Listen, I pray for every church we go into, good and bad, because I've had some bad ones that I realize God knows they need prayer probably a lot worse than the ones that treat us badly. I won't call names or anything like that, but we've been in Texas, all the way to Texas, and have a meeting in a church of almost 200 people and not even give a love offering. Yes. And I tell you the reason, because they didn't like the word repentance.
Right.
And I don't care. It's not going to stop me from saying it. It's not going to stop me from preaching it. What I say here is going to be the same thing I preach in any other church. I'm not going to change my message. Listen, but it takes the work of God takes prayer. Listen, we give you the prayer cards. We want you to pray for us. If you can't financially support, I understand, but you can still take that prayer card. Listen, I give you the bookmark so that when somebody says flip to this page and flip back to this page, you can use that bookmark. And while you're going through there, you can see my picture and see my family. You don't have to look at me. You can look at my family, my daughters, and you can say, "Dear Lord, wherever Brother Daniel's at, please help him on the ministry. Help him, Lord, to get to the field and pray for us." If you can't do nothing else, we can pray. Right. Listen, a prayer list. A lot of people, we take it for granted. We have so many blessings in our country. We've got tablets and computers running amok. Listen, you can get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down a few things, a few prayer requests. Right. Write down every one of your missionaries, their wives' names, their kids' names, and just pray for them. You say, "I don't know what to pray for." Listen, if we actually just wrote down what we would really pray for, we'd have no problem praying for an hour. If you wrote down every pastor you knew, every his wife, every missionary you support, every one of their kids, if you wrote all them down, that'd be an hour's worth of prayer just praying for them. We need the work of God takes prayer. Number three, verse number three says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Listen, the work of God takes faith. He says, remembering your work of faith. It is in faith. Listen, we go out and plant seed. We go out and try to witness to people. We try to hand out tracts. It's in faith, thinking it's something. God's going to bring forth something.
Amen.
Brother was talking about just now. Listen, Noah probably, he went out time after time preaching, the preacher of righteousness, right, preaching the Word of God to see something happen. Right. Nothing ever did. But you know what? I believe that God is going to honor that.
Right.
Because he did what he was supposed to.
Amen.
Listen, the day and time we live in, people think that Jonah was a great success, but he hated his converts.
Yeah.
He wished they all got saved. He got up there on the hill and then wished they'd die.
Yeah.
That's not love. That's the maze mentality, though. We think, well, just because he had great numbers, he was successful.
Yeah. Come on, man.
No. Let me move on. I want to be quick. Listen, labor of love. We're to labor in love for these people. We have lost it.
Yes, sir.
We have lost. I truly believe that majority of people don't really believe the Lord's coming back.
Right.
Or don't believe he could come back anytime. Because if we did, we'd really labor in love. I seen this a couple years ago. A year and a half ago, we was at a church there in North Carolina and had it up, and I think it was Charles Finney said, if we as Christians would, and I can't remember exactly how it went, but it went something along the lines, if Christians would just live 1 week like we actually believe people were dying going to hell, what a difference it would make. Do we really believe that this community is dying going to hell? When's the last time? Do you honestly listen? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your kids are not guaranteed tomorrow. Labor of love and impatience of hope. That's one of the hardest things I've had to learn on deputation. I told my wife, I wish from the start we'd have got a dash cam so we could record how many people pull out in front of me and God's work. People ride with me, they're like, "Brother, I never seen anybody get pulled out in front of and people go so slow in front of in my entire life." I said, "God's just working on it." It makes me feel good. I know God's not done with me. I'm not arrived by any means. But I'm going to tell you, I told my pastor, I said, you always hear these preachers when I was growing up, don't pray for patience. You don't have to. When God's ready for you to learn it, he's going to, whether you pray for it or not. I learned that. I didn't have to pray for it. God said, "All right, it's time for you to learn it."
Yeah.
Let's move on. Verse number four, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now listen, I am not afraid of that word, okay?
Right.
We happened to drop in. I was so disappointed. The work of God takes knowing him. And him knowing you. I was so disappointed. We dropped in the church that our church was planted out of. Wayside Baptist Tabernacle there in Lexington. Bobby Leonard come out of that church planted. I know you probably know Bobby Leonard. A lot of people know Bobby. Bobby Leonard come out of that church. T.R. Moore that planted our church come out of the man that's there now is a Calvinist. And he kept getting up and kept trying to look at me. Yeah, I've got a doctrine that most Baptists have abandoned. I thought, brother, you're crazy. I never wanted it to begin with. And he kept saying the word elect. I said, I'm not afraid of that word one bit. I know God's elected us. When you get saved, you become a son of God, or and you're birthed into the family of God. It does not scare me one bit,
right.
The election of God.
Right.
God knows exactly who's going to get saved. We don't know. That does not permit us not to get doing what He's told us to do. But listen, it's the work of God takes knowing Him and Him knowing you. Verse number 5 now. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you. And for your sake, listen, the work of God takes the gospel. We've got to quit watering it down. Many men have said it, and I love it. I'm glad we're in a place where men ain't afraid to preach repentance. They're not afraid to preach the gospel. God never ordained a skit or music, and I love music. God never ordained a lot of these things that we try to do to trick people in. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save that which was lost. And we're to preach the gospel. Verse number 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. The work of God keeps joining together. You listen, the people out there listening to the radio, God has never ordained a TV pastor. God expects you in a local independent Baptist church. God expects you to be in with a Bible-believing church, yoked up with them, joining the family of God, joining the church so that you can help support the work of God, so that you can know, you can be fed, you can have a pastor that can watch over for you. You became followers of us. Listen, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I know a lot of men are getting out of it. A lot of men are getting discouraged and quitting. But we're still to follow the man of God as he follows Christ. And we're to yoke up with a local church the best we can.
Amen.
I feel bad for people. Listen, there's places, I didn't say it, we went through real fast the other day. The state of Nebraska, 93 counties, 63 of them do not have an independent Baptist church in them. Two-thirds of the state of Nebraska would have to drive hundreds of miles if they wanted to get into an independent Baptist church. We're in a mess. This country's not in the shape it's in. I can't imagine what other countries that some of these guys are going to, what they would be like. I just researched America. That's where God's called us to. But listen, it takes being joined together. Verse number 7. So that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Listen, the work of God takes being examples to people out here. You are not going to win some waitress to the Lord by being rude to her while she's waitressing to you and leaving some sorry tip. And then you try to leave a track and think you're going to win her to the Lord. You ought to, listen, it don't matter how rude she is, how much she messes up, you ought to be above and beyond an example to her so that you can leave a track, so that you stand a chance of her actually reading it. My wife was a waitress for years before she got saved, and she'll tell you, when somebody leave a good tip, when somebody was nice to her, she'd leave what they left behind. When somebody was rude, it went right in the trash. That's right, some people that are rude still have the nerve to leave a track. Your pastor said, if you're going to be rude to the waitress, don't tell them you go here.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You got to be an example to people. Verse number 8. Let's move on. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Listen, it takes spreading the gospel, missions. It takes spreading out. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. It was read in Judea, in Jerusalem, all of Judea,
right.
Samaria, and uttermost part of the earth. We have a responsibility. Your spreading the gospel doesn't stop when you go on vacation.
Right.
I know some people think that. Yeah. Well, I'm going on vacation, preacher, so I don't need to go to church Sunday, and I'm not going to hand out any tracts because I don't want to do that. I should get time. Listen, we really don't. I told you before, I wonder how many of us really believe people are dying and going to hell.
Right.
Because we think that this is more important than any job you have.
Amen.
This is way more important than any job I've ever had.
Yes.
Listen, my wife basically lost her job for witnessing to a black sodomite she worked with. He lied, told a lie on her because she'd been witnessing to him at work. She had seen him under conviction many times. You know what? God took care of us. That was 2 days. She lost her job 2 days after I surrendered to preach. It happens. God's took care of us. Amen. There's many times that people have told me, you're going to have to stop at work. I said, I'm not. I can lose my job. I'll get kicked out of the buildings I work. I don't care. But I want people to know the gospel. I want people to know that God loves them. God died for them. Verse number 9 now. Verse number 9 says, and for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They had a testimony coming in there.
Right.
You're going to go out and spread the gospel. You've got to have a testimony. Right. Your testimony gets messed up, that's it.
Right.
It takes years to rebuild after you've messed
yes,
up a testimony.
Yes,
many, there's men right now out of the pulpits. There's men that are in pulpits. I ain't got no use for them.
Right.
They've lost their testimonies.
Yep.
They're not right with God. They are disqualified to preach.
Right.
They have no business behind
right.
a pulpit preaching. I won't go into names. But listen, once your testimony's gone, it's hard to get it back. But Paul and them had such a testimony that they knew when they were showing up. Verse number 10, let me be done. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And to wait for his son, the work of God takes watching for him. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13, I'll be done. Mark chapter 13. We are to watch and wait. Seven and a half years ago, we went out west for the first time, met Brother Shepherd and met some men out there. We were with a church, we had stopped in a church there in Coffeyville, Kansas, Brother Knight. And we had left after service and we was following the McCattons going out to dinner. And we went by a Church of God, a Church of Christ. Me and my wife will never forget this. This is the honest truth. It was on their sign in front of the church. It said, Jesus is coming soon. Look busy. That is exactly what it said. Look busy. Jesus is coming soon. Look busy. Jesus ain't fooled by our looking busy. Okay? He's not fooled by our malice attempt. He's not fooled by our half-hearted attempts to witness to people. Here in verse Mark chapter number 13, the end of it here, it says in verse 32, he says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. God's going to look at God the Son one day and say, it's time.
Right.
Jesus can't warn you. He's not going to give you an insight. He
right.
don't know. I don't know how he does it, but God the Father keeps it from God the Son. And he says, take ye heed, watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Over and over again, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto all, watch.
Amen.
We're to watch.
Yes, sir.
Today could be the day he comes
yes,
back.
Amen.
I mean, do we honestly believe that? The work of God takes a lot of things, and there's many more things the work of God takes. But listen, we've got to be busy.
Right.
You've got to be busy. You can't think, well, we've got our pews full, or we're supporting 50 missionaries or whatever it is, so we're good to go. We're too many people are complacent in the day and time we live in. They think they support a full-time pastor. They support so many missionaries. The church is so full. Well, we're good to go. Oh, listen, God told us to watch and wait.
Amen.
We're to constantly be working for Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And I pray, God, now that you bless Brother Ballou as he gets ready to preach. Help us to enjoy the rest of the service. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.